2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Welcome back to the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. As always, alongside me is former NFBC main event champion, the master of the Robo Scout, still number one in our hearts here at Baseball America. It'd be Dylan White. What's going on, man? How are you?
You say beside me as always, but I'm across the country. You're on the West Coast now, West Coast-ish. You're on the southern end. I'm on the northeast end. So as you just burying the lead, you arrived in Arizona.
Yeah, I did. I arrived in Phoenix at around noontime Pacific. And as always with the Phoenix Sky Harbor, it's always a process to get your rental car. So. And, you know, I made the mistake. I usually fly JetBlue. They fly late. They only have one flight direct from Boston and back every day. And I was not feeling the late arrival. I didn't want to come on a Sunday, miss kids' football games, all that sort of thing. So I flew American. No TV. Had to pay for my Wi-Fi. And then on top of it, I got a bad ticket. So they checked my bag. So at the gate, they made me check the carry-on. Because I've gone down to Florida for a month and not checked the bag. 100% have been able to do this. So, you know, it hurt my ego. I probably waited for about 35 minutes. So I was at the airport for about an hour after we landed until I finally got the rental car, got on the road, checked in. First stop, as always, Blue Adobo. It's one of my top two restaurants in the United States. It's that. And Zahab, which is an Israeli restaurant in Philly. That's awesome. So I just went there and I filled up. I didn't eat. I haven't eaten since 8 o'clock last night. I got to the restaurant, what would typically have been 5:30 or so East Coast time. So like I stretched it out. Like I made sure I had my calories to soak up here, you know, and just loaded it up in one meal, you know, carne adobo, a cheese Rolano, just incredible. Just the pepper stuff with cheese. You know, I'm usually not like a crazy cheese guy. I like cheese, but you know, I limit my intake. This is one of those things. It's just so good. And then a smoked pork tamale, which was also excellent. So
is that like Tex-Mex? Is Brazilian?
It's actually New Mexican food.
New Mexico.
From New Mexico. Interesting. So it's a little bit different from like what you would typically have been used to with like Tex-Mex. A lot more like green chilies is the base. Mm-hmm. So it's just a little bit different. I think it's super flavorful. You can get like a triple plate. So you can kind of pick your things with beans and rice. And it's like $17, $19. It's really cheap considering the amount of food you get, the quality of the food. There was nobody in there because I got there at like 2:30. So I was kind of between lunch and dinner. And happy hour didn't start till 3. So I missed all the drinkers. And I crushed it, you know, came back over here. And now I'm here recording with you. And in a couple of hours, I'll be there at opening pitch for the AFL. But before we get into some of the AFL stuff, you had a great article that's going to be released as we're releasing this. Or actually, this is going to come out in the morning. Your article will come out a little bit later. So if you're listening to this and you're driving and the article's not on the website yet, you can check in when you get to work on baseballamerica.com. Check out Dylan's most recent article. It's a gem. I read it this morning on the plane, flying across the country. But I want to wrap it up because this is the first podcast we've done since the fantasy season ended. And Dylan, I just want to say, I brought it within a point in my DC. I had it, and it was close. Like there was a chance that if like Orlando Arcia, which is like the worst person you could put your hopes into, you know, never put your life in the hands of a rock and roll band, as Oasis might say, right? They're coming back. I almost bought tickets to go see him in Toronto, but it was way too much money for my wife and I to go and pay. I was going to come and visit you. Unfortunately, that's not the case right now. Unless I come into some money, then maybe I'll buy them in the aftermarket because my sister and her husband are going up there. That being said, one point away, shouts out to, I believe, Shrimp Boat Captain. Mm-hmm. If you know him on Twitter, it's something to do with the Draft Champions podcast. He beat me by one point and he sent me the evil voodoo. He sent me the black magic the morning of He's like, I think you're going to catch me. You know, you put up a hell of a fight in the second half. Like, what a great job of drafting. And I was like, don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. I know what you're doing here. I know what you're trying to do the reverse psychology. You're trying to put the goodwill out there in the world to screw me over. And you know what? It worked because I didn't come up with that extra point. I came in second. But I have to say my best finish in a DC did really well. You know, a lot of it was to do with our rankings, everything else, all of our work that we've put in, having some conversations with you, you know, Rob DiPietro, some others that have had success in the DC space. So I'm still doing fantasy next year. I think I'm going to jump back in. I got enough to pay my way. I might even do two teams. I was hoping to win. And if I won, Dan Greenberg, Dan Fu, who was my co-manager in this, we were going to do a main event team. That's up in the air. He's currently bracing for a big hurricane, actually had after getting another hurricane a week or so ago. He's got an even bigger one coming in. He'd evacuate. So, you know, prayers up to Dan Fu. The only other guy that's ever like co-hosted this podcast, it's you, me, and then I had a guest with him, and I think maybe Chris Clegg for an episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shouts out to Dan. I hope that all is well and, you know, his house is spared from Mother Nature's path. But how did you end up finishing out the fantasy season?
A lot of drama in the final day too. So the home league I always talk about, it's like a three-way roto, 2 weeks long. And it went into, after the Sunday game, heading into the Monday doubleheader, it was if Marcelo Zuna gets three RBIs in the two games, then one person wins. If I get three RBIs from Mark Vientos and Chris Sale gets a win and eight Ks, I win. And then any other combination, the third guy wins. And so as soon as Chris Sale was scratched, I knew I was done. And Marcelo Zuna got two RBIs. So it came within one RBI and like the whip rankings were like 0.94 to 0.946. Like it was like something ridiculous. Like it was just extremely close. So that was that. That was the drama there. One of the DCs, we finished just out of the money. But if we had started Eric Fetty instead of Nestor Cortez, Eric Fetty was going into Coors and Nestor Cortez ended up getting scratched, we would have moneyed there. Like it's all these things of like, oh, if only we did this. It's like thousands of dollars. So it's a bit discouraging in that like you have to, I mean, my takeaway is you have to grind every single day, because if it comes down to one RBI, if it comes down to one start, like you can't take a day off in June saying, you know what, I'm not going to do fab this week. Like you have to grind or else like the edges and the margins are so slim. So it's a bit discouraging on one hand, because you have to, you know, maintain that level of vigilance the entire season. But also it just adds so much drama. It's just so interesting and so exciting. So yeah, we didn't money in that one. We finished second in the other DC, our $400 DC that we started off with, Acuna, Glasnow, Yamamoto. We ended up finishing second. It got a bit dicey there because we got passed on like the second last week, because like everyone's injured. Kershaw, Cobb, Drew Thorpe, all these people, I can't even name them all. Jung Hoo Lee. It got dicey, but we pulled it off. And then in my dynasties, I finished second in both, which was nice. I think we're in a good position for next year as well. And then the most important leagues, the Super with Jordan and then the Main with Rob, we did not money. We didn't even come close to moneying. So, you know, that was a bit of a downer. I am not the repeat Main Event champion, as you mentioned at the beginning. I'm still dealing with that, still processing through that grief, but it was a good season. It was very, very good. Made new friends, et cetera, et cetera. The friends we made along the way. And, you know, RoboScout is my best friend. So who needs co-managers when you have RoboScout?
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, you know, the robot, he doesn't go away. You control him. So, you know, there's like a... There's a bit of an odd dynamic there, but RoboScout doesn't have any feelings, so he's not going to be offended, you know. Yeah, man, I don't know. It sounds like we had a lot of second place finishes. I feel like I had so many second place finishes this year, and then some bad teams as well. I've hung it up in Highlander. I didn't come in last in labor, which was great. Finished second in, I almost called it on-roto, tout. Finished in second in tout to Ray Flowers. And I had led for good chunks of the season. I had a pretty good last month. August killed me. I hit the doldrums in August. I had some guys that underperformed. Weekly lock, and it's one of those things, you get a guy that gets injured on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, mm-hmm. and you got to eat that the rest of the week, and it can kind of kill you a little bit. And I had big swings with bad performances here and there in ERA and WHIP. That's ultimately what killed me, because when the ERA and the WHIP were good, I was in first. My offense was loaded and stacked. And if I had just, if I just had Mike Trout healthy, who knows what would have happened? Would have run away with the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The least amount of plate appearances Trout has ever had in a season was this year.
Oh, wow.
So, I had read Mike Podhauser's, I hope I didn't butcher that name. I think I said it right. From Fangraphs on the plane coming over, kind of reviewing what's the article name? He does it for pitchers and hitters. Most divisive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hitters and pitchers. And it's funny because Trout was one of those guys and he was good when he was playing. He was awesome, but he had brought something up, and I think it's a good point that in a shallower league, a 12 team league where the replacement value is a little bit higher, right? There's just a deeper waiver wire. There's more stuff that you can pull. He's probably a good draft next year still. I think it's a pretty good point. Thinking about it, he made the same point about Tyler Glasnow in the pitcher article. And it's when the replacement value is there, getting that guy for even half a season is still pretty valuable. So I don't know if I'd go after him again in a 15-team league, but depends what the price is at the table next year. I can't totally fade Trout, especially in an OBP league, because he can make such a difference. If you can get 120 games from Trout next year, big difference, but unfortunate. I worry that at this point in his age that we might just be sort of pushing up against it, and we're never going to get, two, three full healthy seasons from Mike Trout that are great. At this point, I think he should just DH. Don't even play the field anymore.
There were reports he's open to it, quote unquote, open to it.
Healthy.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea. I mean, anything to keep him playing is good in my books. It's funny you're talking about the WHIP in the ERA. It's funny because my general strategy in these leagues is I really overweight going for WHIP and ERA to get a really good cushion. And then because I'm going to stream in the last 2 months, I'm just going to not even look at the matchups in terms of WHIP and ERA, because I have such a quote unquote big cushion that I can just stream for wins and Ks. That didn't happen this year because Pablo Lopez or Carlos Rodon, all these guys had their ERAs were worse than their estimators. And so I was chasing WHIP and chasing ERA the entire year. And it's not something I'm used to doing. And it's actually quite difficult, which I've never really discovered. You don't want to pick up middle relievers because it's you just feel you're leaving wins and strikeouts on the table, and it's going to take so long to chip away at the WHIP and the ERA. Yeah. So it's kind of I got put in a situation I'm not used to being in. And so I couldn't bounce back from that.
Yeah. That was another problem with my tout strategy this year, is it had saves holds and I kind of punted it, 'cause it was also innings pitched. So it was innings pitch Ks. I tried to go after the starters. It worked pretty well for a while. I had a lot of guys I hit on as breakouts. And then it was streaming, my ninth pitcher, my eighth pitcher. Some of the guys that I brought in definitely blew up the ratios. Bobby Miller was a huge disappointment too,
Yep.
And I kept him and held him on IL. And then when he came back, put him in, also not good. Yep. Oh, here we go. We got the Tigers going up 3-0 with the Kerry Carpenter home run. Everyone listening to this at this point already knows what the outcome of this game was, but we're watching it as we're recording. So I was excited just to say that. Kerry Carpenter, very, very excited. Let me ask you this one before we get into some AFL stuff. Carpenter for next year, I think, is really interesting, because obviously missed some time this year, but you know, if you sort of project out the production that he had when he was healthy this year, this guy like was like a top 10 hitter in baseball. What's your draft round on him? And where would you be comfortable taking him? Because I'm saying if we can, you can get this guy in the fourth or the fifth. If you can get a full season based on the way he's been hitting this year, and he's still young enough and it's a great swing, I think I'd take that gamble. No?
I think fourth or fifth is a bit rich.
He's still rich?
Yeah. I think he is good. He's one of those, he's like those Matt Wallner kind of types that are just like quietly productive. Like Brent Rooker is kind of a one like that coming into the year. And he obviously exploded for 39 home runs. So I think, you know, he's going to have a high WRC plus from a strong side platoon. I think he's still kind of partially platoons, Kerry Carpenter, but because he's going to be so productive, he's going to be in the lineup. They do like him. So he's always near like, you know, 3, 4, 5 type of area. 25 home runs, 10 stolen bases ish. So I think, you know, he's going to be definitely solid and productive. I think he's a good value. I think at the price that you'll have to pay at his ADP, like, I think it's a good pick. He's definitely on my list. But yeah, fourth, fifth is way too early, Jeff.
I think you can return that value. I mean,
maybe
you can get him in the eighth or the ninth.
Yeah.
If that's more palatable, I think there's huge upside here, especially with a full season. I mean, 87 games, 284, 345, 587, 18 home runs. Not like a walk, doesn't walk a ton. It's like 7.5%, so a little bit below average. 25% strikeout rate, but the numbers overall are really good. And, you know, you have to hope that he's productive enough that he maybe starts to see some more at-bats against left-handers. But, yeah, now that you bring it up, I think there's some concerns.
I think so.
He just hit a homer in the playoffs. I'm giving him the playoff ADP bump here.
I think like the 12th, 13th last year was like Tyler O'Neill, Brandon Nimmo, like that type of guy. Seiya Suzuki was probably a bit earlier than that. But like, you know, that right there, Kerry Carpenter's someone, Ian Happ, like that type of guy. So it's like,
I'd take him over those guys.
Yeah, sure. Not 30 home runs, not a huge batting average. Like there's some wart on them, but they're, you know, generally productive, better than average. So I think he definitely fits there. And the Tigers, obviously, they're on the up, and their lineup would be better. I assume Torkelson won't have his bad season. Riley Green hopefully will be healthy for a long time. Colt Keith will take a step forward. All these guys. I do like the Tigers, of course.
Yeah, he did hit 107 against lefties with one home run. So just goes to show you. Doesn't hit the left-handers well. So point made. All right, let's jump into the next one. I mentioned AFL. We get some big news that dropped today. It kind of been floating around there in the doposphere that we get, the information that trickles in behind the scenes. Andrew Painter's headed out to the AFL. He's going to be starting on Saturday for Glendale. So kind of my parting gift. Last day here, we're going to get some Andrew Painter looks. I'm excited about that, Dylan. Very excited. Haven't seen Painter more or less since like the end of his first season. So he might've had a couple more starts after that. And then obviously got injured in spring training and they kind of dragged their feet for like 3-4 months in terms of following through with the Tommy John surgery. So that kind of delayed his time and he ended up missing 2 full seasons. So it will be interesting to see how he compares right now. Of course, he's still building up. I don't have huge expectations. It might only be a couple of innings, but just see what the velocity is like, what the stuff is like. Still got that ride in his fastball, all those sort of things. That will determine a lot for me in terms of what direction this is all going, right? We don't want to repeat of Forrest Whitley, who had the best stuff in the world, and then injury after injury, eventually that hop just never came back, you know? But I'm excited to see Painter.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. I'm also definitely excited to hear your report on him. I think at the top of, like, pitching prospects, Painter obviously is in there. You know, some might have him ahead of Schultz, Jobe, Kumar, Rocker even. Like those four maybe are probably the top four. And yeah, like depending on how he shows, if he looks like he's got the loose deliveries, the velocity's there, all that stuff, like that'll go a long way in kind of cementing the confidence we have that he belongs in the top.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. So we'll see where it goes. I think he's certainly right there, as you said. We're going to jump into Dylan's article in a minute, though. Some of these guys are actually in the AFL. So we'll mix some of that in as well, some AFL talk. First, we're going to take a commercial break.
AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. Oracle.com/bandwidth.
All right, and we're back. Talking Dylan's article will be released today. Underrated position prospects per your best friend, the RoboScout. I want to start it off here with a guy that I believe is in the AFL. Cubs prospect, kind of underrated. Numbers are really good, kind of digging through stuff, making some calls for the Cubs list. He's pushing up on the top 10 just based on what the production is. And I'll also say after nine in this top nine, top eight even, really good, right? Brandon Birdsell nine, and then it just drops off the edge of the table. You know, there's a big discrepancy between like one through eight and nine through 15 and beyond. It's one of those kind of lists, but Jonathan Long, and that's Jonathan with an O at the end for those that don't know. You compared him to Luke Shaw. I see Luke Shaw. Jesus, I'm talking soccer here. Luke Shaw, Matt Shaw's fellow system mate, fellow Cub, and another breakout, CJ Cephas, as well as Jared Cerna, the Marlins, all 22 years old, very comparable metrics. Talk to me a little bit about what you like about Long.
Yeah, I mean, the process here is trying to find guys who maybe didn't perform on the surface, but if you look underneath, the underlying data was very close to people who did perform. And so, you know, does that mean they're undervalued? Does that mean the other ones are overvalued? So I just looked at, you know, the typical StatCast metrics I like to look at: contact, in-zone contact, 90th percentile exit velocity, chase rate, barrel rate, xWOBA-con, all those things. And I compared against similar age players, similar levels. And just like you said, Matt Shaw, CJ Cephas, even like Jared Cerna, all had kind of similar metrics underneath, or actually inferior metrics to Jonathan Long. Like Jonathan Long has the best 90th exit velocity, that 90th percentile exit velocity of all those guys. He has the lowest chase rate of all those guys. He has the highest xWOBA-con of all those guys. So his expected damage that he does when he makes contact based on exit velocity and launch angle combined is better than Matt Shaw, is better than CJ Cephas. And these guys are, well, Matt Shaw was always kind of a top 100 prospect from the beginning, but CJ Cephas was a breakout. And Jonathan Long is performing as well, if not better, on the underlying. So it's kind of trying to find these opportunities, buying opportunities where, you know, your other league mates may not know that these guys have, you know, the ingredients and for a recipe for success in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's a really good one. Had dug into the metrics as well. I was happy to see him pop up on your article. We might've chatted about him a couple of weeks ago as well. But definitely a name to file away. And I think deeper dynasty leagues where there's 250 prospects rostered or more, he's definitely a name that I think you should throw a dart at. Just from a fantasy perspective, he's pretty limited. Corner outfield, first base type is really where he's going to end up defensively long term. But as we see a lot of the time, where the rubber meets the road with these corner infield outfield types, it's about who hits, and he's doing it. And, you know, I think the good thing is the contact metrics are very comparable to the other three players that you brought up, including Shaw. So the fact that he hits as well as he does, I think is a big check mark in his favor. I'm going to bring it back to an oldie but goodie. What's old is new again. He used to go by Maximo Acosta. He shortened it up. He's Americanized it. He's Max Acosta now. He's trying to fit in with his high school friends. Max Acosta of the Rangers, another one. Guy that was kind of like a pop-up here in the fall, here in the Complex League in Arizona, maybe 4 years ago. I was at Prospects Live the last time this guy was super relevant and, you know, kind of got the bump in terms of, you know, fantasy analysts jumping on the numbers, jumping on the production, some good reports, scouts push back on it a little bit. It seems like it's coming to fruition finally, though, as often happens with some of these younger guys, right? They got to find themselves in the wilderness and then they sort of figured it out. Was happy to see him on here. He's maybe Rule 5 eligible. We'll see if he gets protected or not. I think he's a pretty interesting name. Another guy that's in the Arizona Fall League, so I'll check him out this week. Talk to me a little bit about Max Acosta.
Yeah, just everything you said. He was, you know, very trendy name at the time in FYPD drafts as an international signee, a J2 guy at the time. And it just has never really put it all together. And it's funny, he is Rule 5, and that's what we see with these international prospects. Because they get signed so young, they have to make, organizations have to make these tough Rule 5 decisions on them because they've already been in the system for so many years. So he's kind of on that bubble. But I think I would protect him if I'm the Rangers, because he just showed such improvements year over year. Josh Norris mentioned him as an interesting Rule 5 guy in his article, which they should check out. But he lowered his strikeout rate from 20% to 13%, which is huxge. His 90th percentile exit velocity increased by basically 2 miles an hour, which is huge. He cut his chase rate from 30% to 24%. 24% is better than average. 30% is worse at average. So he's better than average at not chasing. His barrel rate went from 13% to 20%. So like he just took steps forward in every element. And, you know, we had some minor league defensive metrics, and his run prevention, and he plays mostly at shortstop, is actually plus. So he's middle infielder. He's got some speed. He's got good swing decisions. He's showing improvements. I think he's still 21 now. I think he's definitely a fantasy prospect, I'll tell you that. And like I said, if I were the Rangers, I'd protect him. I'm probably seeing that through a fantasy lens. And there's probably, you know, other decisions that have to go into that. But I do think he's a valuable prospect who will turn some heads next year.
Yeah, and he's 21 for like another 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. October 29th, he will turn 22. But still super young, turning a corner here. I think that's a really good call out. Now, you know that we're both Vladimir Guerrero fans. Had an incredible season this year, arguably one of Vlad's best years. My youngest son, my biggest baseball fan in my house besides myself, lives and dies with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. We got another Guerrero in the pipeline here. I wrote about him a couple weeks ago in my article, MLB Prospects Who Gained the Most 90th Percentile Exit Velocity in 2024. He was number one on anyone who qualified for the sample size, had 193 balls in play, so it is a good sample as well. He was at 98.2 in his 90th percentile exit velocity last year, 105.7. Of course, I'm talking about Pablo Guerrero, younger brother of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. 7.5 miles gained on the 90th percentile. You talked about him. You compared him to Lazaro Montes, Eric Bentonati, Bentonti, I always mess up the name, Bentonti, Luis Marejo, another one that you called out, as well as Pablo Guerrero. He's the youngest of all the players in that sample, all teenagers. He's still just 17 years old. What are your thoughts on the younger Guerrero?
Yeah, it's the same process. I find kind of clusters of these Statcast metrics that I'm talking about at similar levels, and then if this guy's doing the same thing, if he's hitting 106 miles an hour on his 90th, which is more than Lazaro Montes, more than Eric Bentonti, basically the same as Luis Marejo, but he's 17 instead of 19, that, you know, that turns my head and gets my attention. And it's not like he is not able to hit for contact because he's doing that, or he's, you know, hitting into the ground, things like that. I'm comparing his contact rate. I'm comparing his in-zone contact rate, which incidentally is the best of that foursome. His ex-Wobicon is within the boundaries of the lowest and highest of those guys too. So this is a guy who's only 17, obviously has the bloodlines, and he's putting up as impressive power numbers as some of these highly regarded prospects, especially Lazaro Montes or Eric Bitonti, like you said. So he did, since he went to full season ball in low A, he did slow down a bit. He was struggling a bit as part of growing pains, but his contact actually improved. I think his chase rate also improved as well. So I chalk that up to just, you know, he's acclimating to the new level. And Pablo Guerrero, who's not even in our top 30 at our latest Rangers, I think is someone, I think like also speaks to the depth of the Rangers organization, who they take such a step forward in the pitching side and the hitting side. I think that's definitely a name that, you know, you should be checking out, like a 30 home run power potential.
Yeah, absolutely. He's really interesting. And I think the bloodlines don't hurt, you know. Yep. I would imagine that he'll probably find his way into the Rangers top 30. Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if he doesn't, honestly. That's one to keep an eye out for sure. Those are all the names we're going to give you. There's more names included, some bigger names, some smaller names in both spelling and cachet. You're going to have to check it out, though, to get all that information. I don't know, Dylan. I'm excited, man. I got my first baseball game in about a month, live baseball in about a month. I'm about to check into in about an hour, 2 hours. Pretty excited. We'll see what comes of it. I'm going to get Grant Taylor, I think, tomorrow. I had these up. Grant Taylor, I got tomorrow in the opening game. Dylan Ray, if you're into that sort of thing, in the second game. Former breakout, and I think he's now like 48 years old, but Patrick Monteverde, he's not the oldest pitcher in the AFL, though. And then I got a good one that I'll probably end up going to instead, which is Connor Phillips versus Heung-Min Lin in Glendale. It depends on which rosters I want to see. Because the Peoria lot roster is loaded.
Yes.
I may end up skipping Heung-Min Lin. You know, it's Colt Emerson. It's all those guys. So
yeah, yeah.
May end up skipping them. Cool. Opening young day for them. Then again, I do Heung-Min Lin, and I'm going to get Peoria another couple chances before I'm out of here. You know, I got to balance it. I got to figure it out. We'll see. But all right. Tonight, this has been the... What are you going to say? Go ahead.
I was just saying, but for tonight, you're just going to walk out the front door of the hotel and cross the street and take in
open. Tonight I am, yeah. Any games at Mesa, I'm like right here. So stop by if you're in the area. Get a drink in the bar. Hit me up on Twitter. I'll be drinking water. I'm on a health kick lately.
That's good.
Been doing like 4 miles a day, trimming it down, kind of watch what I'm eating, trying to get into fighting shape. You know,
you got to cleanse out all that blue adobo you ate today.
Yeah, I'll cleanse it up for sure, if that's what your word is. On that note, we're going to wrap this up. This has been another episode of the Fantasy Baseball Podcast here at Baseball America. I'm Jeff. He's Dylan. Thanks for tuning in.
Cheers.